All right, welcome in to the Other Football Podcast here on the LV Sports Network. Chris Chapman, Thomas Viola, Carson Merck from a very snowy...
Yeah, a rare time to say that.
Oh, I got to turn your mic on. There we
Unreal.
Go. Wrong mic.
Unreal.
Very snowy Las Vegas, Nevada, where...
I am not a fan.
It is Thursday night here in Vegas. Just saw the tweet from the Clark County School District. Not that people listening to this podcast have kids who are in school tomorrow, but maybe
is
they
it
will.
All shut down?
It's all shut down tomorrow, yeah. So
my cousin's going to be excited. He's a teacher.
Yeah. Only the second snow day. Now, I moved to Vegas in 1999. There was a snow day in 2008. And then tomorrow is the only other snow day I can think of since I've been here. So
I've lived here a week, a year and a week now. Schools have had as many snow days as I had in 4 years at Syracuse. Actually, more because we had a half snow day.
Like,
canceled the back half of classes.
By the way, we're all from cold weather places. I mean, me and Thomas are from New Jersey. You're from Northeast Ohio.
Yep.
Is there anything worse than when you get that delayed opening? Like, delayed opening to me is such
it's the worst, and
people from the West Coast have no idea what we're talking about. But people who grew up in snowy places. Yeah. They know exactly what we're talking about. A delay. You're already awake and dressed, and you turn on.
You literally watched the snow closings like it was the draft. Like,
yes.
The ticker
yes.
going across. You were like, come
See,
on,
I,
come
I can't
on.
Relate to that.
Show
we
me
had,
Stowe City Schools.
We had a phone tree. So it was
we didn't. You had to watch, and then Stowe was obviously late in the alphabet. So you'd get to start off in A, and you're like, I have to wait so long.
Well, like, I was Tom's River. So. We had our local radio station in Toms River that everybody would listen to, but Ocean County, where I grew up, is a pretty big place. I mean, we have probably 20 something high schools and multiple junior high schools and elementary schools, and we have small towns that go to other high schools in different towns. So, like,
they should have just done one overall, like, it's closed.
Ocean County. but like, the funniest thing was some schools in Ocean County, like, you'd hear Toms River Regional Schools are open today. But Jackson Memorial High School is closed. And you're like, what? It's right next to us. And I lived closer to Jackson High School than I did to Toms River North, where I went to high school. And I lived closer to Manchester High School than where my high school was. And I probably lived closer to Lakewood High School. Toms River is a kind of a weird place, the way that the borders were set up. But I lived closer to like three high schools that were in different towns than I did to my actual high school. And yet there were days that those high schools were closed. And my high school was open. And you're like, what the hell, man? I got to go through all this crap to get there. But
I keep walking around. I mean, right now I have sweatpants and a t-shirt on. And
right now? I think that's just
generally.
All the time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, that's like an all the time.
Whenever you're listening to this, there's a good chance it's also happening at that time. But like, I was walking into Smith's and he's like, you're not cold? I was like, I'm not the tough guy. Like, everyone knows the tough guys that are like,
my legs don't get cold in 25 degree temperatures.
They get cold or you have poor circulation. Like, there's clearly an issue. But, like, walking into a store, I grew up in Northeast Ohio. Like, I don't need a coat that bad. But, no, those guys are the worst. My legs don't get cold. It's like, damn, you are super tough.
The guys who are like the Tasmanian devil tattoos.
Or tribal.
Yeah, tribal tattoo.
See, in high school, I was kind of that guy because I would wear shorts year-round because I went to high school in San Jose, California. But, like, the coldest it got there was 50.
Yeah.
And I had just come from living in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like, it just legitimately wasn't cold to me. I was like, this is still shorts weather. I'm loving the shorts. Like, I wasn't doing it to make a point. I was just like, no, I'm going to wear shorts every day if I can.
People posting the videos of the snow, it's... I've lived it. Like, I've lived enough of this. It's not cool to me anymore. There's no intrigue to it.
I won't fault them, though, because, like, last night at soccer, we got a good 2 inches over
by
the field.
I saw videos of people playing soccer. I mean, I was at the Golden Knights game, and we kept getting reports.
There was ice on the rink there.
There's a video of me on Instagram now showing off some elite goalkeeping skills in the snow.
Well, nice. Probably more elite than when we saw you play indoors. So.
Oh, jeez. But,
speaking of goaltenders.
Oh, yeah, and we have to mention my elite goaltending as well.
Oh,
we
do. Wait, hold on.
Carson had a pretty good moment during the match on
Saturday. So first
off,
a shout out where you're probably listening to us. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify.
LV Sports Network.
LVSportsNetwork.com, BGN.FM.
Yeah, BGN.FM.
Sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. So Thomas and I were at the Lights game on Saturday.
Yeah, they played Colorado.
Colorado Rapids.
It's been a long week.
I know, it feels like an eternity ago.
Yeah.
But It was a little brisk there as well.
By the way, did they just announce they have one more preseason game?
Yeah, Orange County, and it's – I want to say it's close.
Is it March 2nd?
Yeah, it's only to season ticket holders, I think.
That's kind of a cool treat.
Yeah, but – so we were at the match this past Saturday, and our goal was to get Tim Howard to answer Taylor Ham or pork roll, and we got our answer. He said very adamantly – pork roll. He walked by and we said, hey.
They do say never meet your heroes.
Yeah. He walked by and we said, hey, Tim, quick question. And he was like, yeah, go ahead. And he didn't seem enthused by it. And then I was like, hey, Taylor Hammer, pork roll. And
he was real enthused after that.
Really?
Huge smile and was like, yeah, pork roll. And then gave us a nod. But
yeah, see, I wasn't there because I had Golden Knights on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But when I was getting the text message from you guys, because we talked about it last week on the show, that yeah. If he's there, we have to somehow get him. And I said, what?
That was the only thing we got, too. Like, I did not get his autograph or anything. Well, but I wanted to see him.
And I said, yeah. Look, we got to get it on video because I didn't believe that Thomas would be truthful.
Yeah, but he was honest.
Thomas and he was honest. And Thomas was the one who sent the text message and said pork roll.
It was a no-win situation for me if I didn't get it on video, because if he said Taylor Ham, you'd never believe me.
Well, that was it, yeah. But yeah. I commend you for your honesty and forthcoming and saying he said it was.
Believe it or not, I have some journalistic integrity.
Well, not all of us so-called journalists have that integrity.
So then we go to my goalkeeping heroics. So
there was a ball during warm-ups that came straight at Carson's cousin.
Drew was with us, and so we were sitting in the picnic table area at Cashman Field, and Andre Rawls, who ended up starting in place of Tim Howard, he was a healthy scratch. Launched a ball.
I do not think he was a healthy scratch.
I think he was.
I think he was an unhealthy scratch.
I thought they announced him as a healthy scratch, but he went through warm-ups. He very easily could have tweaked something. So he was a scratch either way.
Yeah.
And so Andre Rawls, who started in place of him, fired a ball right in our direction, and with no gloves on and no preparation.
I was very impressed.
I caught it straight up.
So what you're saying is you were more equipped to make that save than Thomas was last year when the ball came down from the stands and someone threw it at him.
Oh, yeah, that was classic.
I was looking in the opposite direction at the field doing my job?
Goalkeepers are always ready.
Yeah, come on. You got to have eyes in the back of your head there, Jordan Pickford.
It was an impressive catch.
That though. Was against, was it the Oklahoma City, whatever the hell they're called, that have 17 names?
Could have been OKC Energy FC, I believe.
Yeah.
Those games ran together at this point.
I love that. Yeah. Oklahoma City Energy.
Football
Club. FC, yeah.
Specifically, OKC Energy FC.
Look, OKC stands for Oklahoma City.
No, its name is OKC Energy FC. Is what they put on official documents.
I understand. I understand you're embarrassed to say you're from Oklahoma City.
But we know what that
we
stands
know
for.
Where you're from. It's not like it stands for something completely different.
Well, they're trying to get away with KC.
Well, we can
Kansas
also
City. speaking of KC, they're playing tonight. Kansas Sporting
the Sunshine
City.
Band?
Nice.
They're playing who? Toluca?
Toluca. They were up
They're winning and dominating in possession as of last
in I saw. The CONCACAF Champions League.
The Houston Dynamo beat, I don't even want to pretend to pronounce the name, it was the Guatemalan champions in Guatemala, courtesy of a DeMarcus Beasley.
Believe it or not, I've actually been to Guatemala.
Nice.
Meanwhile, yes. Toronto.
Toronto did not have not much so good. Of a day. No.
Yeah, so I love the tweet.
From the lights?
By the way, and I tweeted it out.
Yeah.
I retweeted it. If you do not follow LV Lights FC,
you're missing out
on Twitter. You truly are missing out because they are fantastic. And I'm going to pull up the tweet that was.
They're also doing a $10,000 cash drop this year, which needs to be addressed, needs to be mentioned.
Yes,
I mean
that came the list of their promotions.
I don't know if we were allowed
today.
To say. Oh, okay, it's been officially announced.
Yeah, it's official.
Okay, good.
It's official.
I was worried because you weren't even with me when I got told about that. Okay, good.
So it's
official.
Yeah, they have announced it that there are going to be multiple promotions, but
people thought 5,000 was ridiculous.
And they tweeted it out. LV Lights are going to make it rain again. $10,000 cash drop this year,
or make it snow as it is on the TV right now.
Yes, lots of TV, and they're doing a couple of other promotions, by the way. But
Golden Knights, a little cross promotion.
Yeah, they're going to wear. Yes, they're going to wear the Golden Knights themed uniforms. They're also going to be doing something for Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
It's going to be really cool when the Golden Knights wear their lights themed uniforms.
They Ooh. Should.
That would be
here it is. So they tweeted out, and you know it's that meme with Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man?
I always enjoy that.
And it says, Lights FC 5-1, Independiente, who I believe is from Panama, 4-0, And Spider-Man is pointing at Spider-Man, and the tweet says, at CAI Panama, Independiente, I guess. You want to play us next? Winner gets a banner to hang in their stadium. Hashtag, we beat Toronto 2. Hashtag, banner SZN.
Banner season.
Honestly, at this point, I feel like we could probably put together people that are just in this building right now and put up a game against Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto.
Well,
man,
they got rid of their star player. I mean, that certainly doesn't help.
Current star is Josie Altidore, which, you know that guy's hamstrings.
R.I.P. Josie.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Josie Altidore is the Darren McFadden of soccer.
But we are excited to announce that.
That is a valid point.
On this episode, there's a couple things we're going to be talking about. But we have a guest, right?
Yeah, that we do, Jen Cooper.
She is with multiple outlets. She does a blog. She does all sorts of cool stuff.
She is an elite women's soccer expert.
And obviously, there's a couple big things coming up in the women's game. Of course, there is the Women's World Cup, which will take place in the summer. Mm-hmm. But there's the She Believes Cup, yeah, which is, I think, what, four teams in that?
Yeah.
I think, obviously, the United States. And I think Japan is in it, Australia, and is it France?
It sounds like it could be right. And then NWSL just announced their schedule as well. So
the NWA has not yet announced their schedule.
No, NWA, RPEZE, they have not. But yeah, NWSL announced their.
So it's actually Japan, England, Brazil, and the United States. Hmm. And that gets underway in about a week from yesterday, Wednesday, the 27th of February. So, I would imagine before we do our next episode, sometimes we don't really plan these things out. They just depend on what our schedules are. But usually it's a Wednesday or Thursday night. So we may be able to actually talk about the U.S. and Japan, which would be a rematch from the World Cup, I guess, 8 years ago?
And 4 years ago, right?
That's right. U.S. Well, that was the semifinals, right? The U.S. beat them in the semis, or was it the finals?
I thought it was the final.
Japan and the U.S. played each other in two World Cup finals in a row.
Okay, so the U.S. lost the first one, beat them in the second one.
You know what I could be oblivious to it being brought up, but when I was doing, I told you guys I was doing an interview for BGN Written.
Yes.
BGN.fm with Leston Paul, who plays for Memphis.
So this wasn't the story that you poached from Ben Goetz?
Memphis Depay.
Not Memphis Depay.
Rest in peace.
Ben Goetz. Not Memphis Depay. But so I'm doing an article with Leston Paul, who plays for Memphis's USL team and is a national team player for Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm. So he played 90 minutes in the game against the U.S. So I just kind of asked him, you know, obviously it's huge for us. How was it for you?
Yeah.
And he said it was a big game. What I didn't know or just didn't register, the U.S. knocked Trinidad and Tobago out before the 1990 World Cup. On the last day
and that qualifying. And that was when the U.S. had made the World Cup for the first time since the 1950s.
Right.
So the team that LV Lights FC coach Eric Wijnaldum was a part of in 1990. Yeah. He lost three games in Italy.
A bit of revenge.
I did not know that.
I don't know if people have brought that up. I don't think that's been addressed that much in this whole thing. Well, I think it was just U.S. sucks.
I remember it vaguely. Of course, I was 10 or 11 years old at the time.
I was not.
But... you're right. It's the first time that I think anyone's brought that up, that it was kind of a revenge. You know, and sometimes when you're dealing with sports,
playing the long game.
Yeah, they were waiting. Yeah, they were waiting for their chance.
But, you know, revenge, sometimes you take your time, and when you get it, it's nice. It's like, all right, guess what?
Yeah,
We remember what happened. Look, you don't think Boston Red Sox fans remember Bill Buckner? If they ever have the opportunity to play the Mets again in the World Series, you don't think they're going to remember that?
Let's not hold our breaths on that one.
Well, yeah, my Mets probably won't be playing in the World Series anytime soon.
They'll get there.
I mean, I remember the Mets losing to the Yankees. So if the Mets ever get back and play the Yankees, I'm certainly, well, the result will probably be the same.
I was in kindergarten when that happened.
Nice.
Wow, I was of drinking age, so that's kind of scary.
Indians have lost a few World Series in my time. More than
I'm not three. Familiar with this concept as a bandwagon San Francisco Giants fan.
That's fair.
Losing a World Series, we just win them every time Taylor Swift releases an album.
Yeah, except Taylor Swift has released multiple albums since the last World Series victory.
Actually, only one album.
All right.
It was the Reputation album was the first time that she released.
Well, that completely destroys your theory. Your whole theory is gone.
There was a theory.
By the way, I got to get this in there since we're dogpiling on Thomas.
Okay.
Paul Stastny, who is a member of the Golden Knights.
Okay.
Very good player, has been around in the NHL a long time. Mm-hmm. He's a big Manchester United fan. But me and him were talking today about the Liverpool Man United game, which is coming up on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought up in front of a colleague of a friend of yours, Dan Duva, a mentor to you. And Dan Duva, not the biggest soccer fan. Dan Duva is the radio play-by-play voice of the Golden Knights.
Yes.
And me and Paul took the opportunity to dogpile on Everton. We kind of said they were a joke. And Paul did not disagree. So, Paul Stastny, member of the Golden Knights, not a big Everton fan. He said every year they make their fans believe.
Yeah.
And by this time of year, they're in 10th place, which is pretty accurate.
Newcastle plays Huddersfield this weekend, so I feel good.
That's an opportunity for Newcastle to kind of give a little distance between themselves and everyone else in the relegation zone.
One might hope.
Yeah.
Will it happen? I'm not sure.
We'll never know.
God, what a gut punch for Schalke this weekend, though.
No. Yeah, we'll get into that after. Yeah, I think we have Jen on, because there's a lot to talk about with the champions.
Well, today there were some of the UEFA Cup.
Yeah, and, does anyone care about the Europa League if your team's not in it?
I don't know. I like it because I like to see how these crappy Eastern European clubs do.
Yeah, of course Chris likes it. It's the perfect opportunity for the Chris Bagnum-Chapman midweek game.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. But the one that kind of shocked me was Frankfurt. Eintracht Frankfurt, they crushed Shakhtar. They advanced. They went aggregate 6-3, but they won today 4-1. There was Arsenal. Remember, Arsenal a couple weeks ago had lost to Borisov Bate?
Yeah.
Well, they won 3-0 today. They advance by winning 3-1 in that.
I would love to just meet a diehard Europa League fan that just lives for the Europa League.
They don't exist.
I think they do. I feel like there's a Chris Magnum-Chapman like times 10.
Well, you know, Chelsea, they defeat Malmo. So two English clubs now into the final. I think it's final 8.
They defeated
8.
Elmo?
Malmo.
Ah.
Not Elmo. Malmo, which is a Swedish club.
I'll be honest. Chelsea versus Elmo would be a match I would tune in for.
But the problem with that is the Swedish league is not in season, so I think it's hard to have a team from Sweden playing in this competition because...
That's kind of like what the Dynamo had with this team in Guatemala. They're like not deep into their season, but they're at least a few weeks in, and the Dynamo MLS hasn't
pre-season.
Started yet. So
yeah, they're doing preseason games.
Still won.
Stotteren, they defeat Real Betis today.
No relation to Jerome.
But the aggregate, they advanced 6-4 on aggregate, yeah. Real Betis, they're out. But Inter, they advance. Napoli advances.
Inter no longer captained by Mario Icardi. They've been demoted from captain.
There was a... So
that's the kind of change they need to make.
Valencia defeats Celtic. So not that anyone really cares, like you said, unless your team is in that. But if you're an Eintracht Frankfurt fan, you're probably happy with the win today by your club over Shakhtar.
Shakhtar, they're usually... decent in the Champions League. They don't usually like get out of the group, but they're
yeah.
There. They
I saw that Red Bull I think it's Red Bull Salzburg advance, but it's Red Bull in Germany that just signed an American player,
Tyler Adams.
Yeah, so
who's a stud over there already?
Yeah, I think he already scored. Yeah, so
big time.
But they're not in it. They actually lost to Red Bull Salzburg to be knocked out.
The old battle of Red Bulls.
Yes. But it can't truly be because Red Bull New Jersey, which they should rightfully be called, is not in it.
Who had my favorite player of all time, Thierry Henry?
Yeah.
That's who had my favorite player of all time.
Giovanni Savarese?
Tim Howard.
Oh, that was when he played with the Metro Stars.
Yeah. Nice.
New York, New Jersey, Metro Stars. Before there was a New York FC.
That was my first soccer game ever.
Interesting.
I was in like first or second grade.
I saw the New York Cosmos when Pele was still alive.
Breaking some news here on the show.
When Pele was still playing, yeah, I'm old.
You gotta
forgive me for that.
My first, I think, would be in Akron University.
University
of Akron, yeah, soccer match.
So I want to get into this after we have Jen on, but it's about the Gold Cup and what the U.S. Soccer Federation President Carlos Cordeiro had to say about it. I guess it was a couple days ago, and we'll get into it after we talk to Jen. But interesting stuff if you're a fan of the Gold Cup, and not very promising.
No, certainly not. About as promising as our weather currently.
Yeah. By the way, this is the Other Football Podcast, LV Sports Network. I think we could probably get into a couple of the Champions League games from the midweek. We can start with the games on Tuesday. My club, Liverpool, they hosted Bayern Munich. And It's one that
my head was spinning from the amount of goals in Tuesday's matches.
Yeah, I figured they would be.
It was riveting soccer.
But you know,
there were some actual good games in those 0-0 draws.
Well, what was frustrating is that I think Liverpool probably outplayed them. Sadio Mane could not hit the side of a barn in that game.
Color me surprised that you thought Liverpool may have outplayed Bayern.
Yeah, really.
Well, I'm
definitely an unbiased opinion coming from Chris Magnum Chapman, the ultimate Liverpool homer.
With I can see his "You'll Never Walk Alone" tattoo on his forearm.
You better remember. Don't believe the hype, right? But they I thought they were the better team, but Bayern parked the bus. Bayern obviously did not want to give up a goal,
Didn't.
But I don't really think they tried to score a goal either.
And they didn't.
But you would think, if I'm Bayern, there's no Virgil van Dijk in this game.
Yeah.
Liverpool is playing Joel Matip and was it James Milner at cornerback?
Cornerback.
Receiver. You saw from cornerback.
Whoa. He's like Deion Sanders. Yeah, James Milner.
I think you had Milner at CB along with Matip. And then Trent Alexander-Arnold in the working class hero, Andy Robertson, out at left and right back. But
which I now have a wood sign at my house that says that.
That was the cringiest thing I've seen this week.
Why would you not attack that back four if you're Bayern?
Yeah, I guess you go into it, like you said, you don't want to give up the goal, but I guess if there was a time for them to be
aggressive,
taken advantage of without Van Dijk, that might have been it.
I don't make a lot of bold predictions, but I'm gonna make one now.
Okay.
And you guys could hold me to this, and
I look forward to it.
I know you guys will bust my chops,
as we typically do.
If it does not come through, Liverpool is gonna thrash them in Munich.
God, I hope they lose so bad.
Liverpool is gonna take them to the woodshed.
Can we get a definition of thrashing?
Yeah, I want
a goal
count.
Kind of a score line.
3-1.
3-1. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Not terrible.
Liverpool's going to kick their ass. They're much better than Bayern.
Until Bayern brings on Alphonso Davies and it goes south for Liverpool.
Then it's all over. Well, now that's the caveat. You know, I'll wave the white flag on that one. But the other game on Tuesday was Lyon and Barcelona.
Yeah, that one being scoreless was a surprise. And I also... Again, you guys know me. I'm a homer for Memphis Depay.
Yeah. Big shout out to Memphis.
Yeah, shout out to Memphis. And I've heard multiple, you know, I guess we'll say analysts and stuff, just criticize him. Oh, he's doing these rap videos and he thinks he's a bigger superstar than he is. It's the same thing with Pogba. Like, come on. Don't be old guy, get off my lawn. But that was a surprising one that went 0-0.
You know who had a really good tweet this week? Speaking of people, kind of the opposite, speaking of people who know exactly where they stand in the public eye, Raheem Sterling.
I don't think I saw his tweet.
He had a really great one because I forget who it was. It might have been The Sun. I don't know. But a British paper, their headline was Sterling Saves the Day for City in a game that we will talk about.
Yeah.
And he tweeted it out saying something like, gonna have to save this one because you know it's never happening again. Like he was playing up the joke that the media absolutely never gives this poor man his credit.
Yeah, and I'm just gonna put it out there. Don't ever mention the name of that newspaper again. That's the worst. That's not even a newspaper.
Especially if they slander the great Raheem Sterling. The
namesake,
I don't remember.
I don't remember who it was. It was a paper in Britain.
All right, so we're gonna switch gears. We'll get to the other two Champions League games after our special guest. We are being now joined.
As I said, Jen Cooper, one of the... Well, I'm not even going to say one. You like making bold statements?
I like bold statements,
say the elite number one premier women's soccer expert host of Mix Zone podcast since 2014 and the longest running weekly women's soccer podcast.
Are you sure that's a women's soccer podcast and not just a podcast entirely dedicated to Mixed Discord? Because I would still listen to it either way.
Mixed Discord, can't go wrong there.
Yeah. Yes, you can, very much so. And then the Keeper Notes website, and she is known as the Keeper. She's also the editorial director for NWSL since 2017 and Fox researcher last summer and this summer.
Wow, well, let's welcome in Jen. Jen, how you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. I like that intro. I'm not sure my podcast is tattooed enough to have Mick's Discarude on, but I like what you're thinking.
Well, you can't go wrong there. Thomas says you can. Carson says you can. But I'm going to fight them to the death on that one.
I'll take women's soccer at any level over Mick's Discarude any day of the week.
Now, speaking of women's soccer, next week gets underway. Only four teams, but you get some pretty good competition. The She Believes Cup, featuring the United States, Japan, Brazil, and England. First game for the United States is Wednesday, the 27th of February. They're playing Japan, rematch of the last two Women's World Cup championships. What kinds of things should we expect to see from the U.S.? And has that golden generation from Japan kind of passed? Are they kind of on the downturn now, or are they still a pretty fierce competitor to the United States?
I wouldn't say they're on a downturn, but this is definitely not the team from 2011, 2012, or 2015. You have seen a lot of those players move on. You've seen a huge turnover, bringing on a lot of youth players. There's several players named at Japan's roster for this tournament who have never been capped for the team, but they are not to be underestimated. As we saw with Tournament of Nations last summer, They put up a great fight. That was the highest scoring game of that tournament. U.S. ended up winning 4-2. It's such a well-run program. So much skill there. You can't underestimate what they're going to bring to the table. And one of the things I really like about this She Believes tournament lineup is that you've got three very different teams for the U.S. women to face, as opposed to the last 3 years. It was always England, France, Germany. You don't see a lot of difference between how European clubs or teams tend to play. So here we've got Japan, who will be very different from England, who will be very different from Brazil. So it's such an excellent preparation tournament for the Women's World Cup.
Jen, is there any player in women's soccer more fun to watch than Tobin Heath?
No, not really. I mean, I was just looking tonight because I wanted to do a tweet about the CONCACAF final from 3 years ago that was today, you know, just kind of do a 3 years ago tonight. And she had such a great golazo in that game. And it's that kind of thing that she doesn't score that often, you know. She's usually playing a different role. But then when she does score, not only is it a great goal, it's some kind of amazing, ridiculous skill, where did that come from kind of goal. So, yeah, she's really fun to watch.
Now, last year in this tournament, England, who of course will be playing the United States, they beat a team that I think is going to contend for the Women's World Cup in France, but they beat them pretty handily. Should we take a lot of stock in that, or is that just what – did France not bring their best game? Did they not bring their best team? Because a 4-1 victory by England, that really stands out as surprising to me.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy. But that was the beginning of the tournament. And Corinne Diacre, their head coach, she was so harsh after that game. I mean, it's so rare in women's soccer that you get a coach who is just so frank and so harsh on their players immediately after the game to the press. But you saw the change in the next two games, and it's probably something that team really, really needed to kind of turn them around. France has so much talent. They've come so far. But it seems like the last several major tournaments, they kind of stumble, you know, right as they're getting to the peak. So, you know, maybe that's an extra edge, you know, kind of having that harsh game that could help them. Because, you know, we look at the U.S. playing France last month, you know, and U.S. lost 3-1 to France, you know. And you can't, again, underestimate the host country for a World Cup. You know, so we saw last summer how far Russia got on the, you know, the steam of fans alone, you know. So that was a ridiculous game last year, but I've seen so much growth from France since that game.
For me, I'm the biggest Mallory Pugh fan. I'm her number one fan club outside of her for me, and then Alex Morgan for a lot of casual women's soccer fans. Who are a couple players with the U.S. women's national team that's like, okay, they might be somebody you want to watch, maybe not right now, but possibly in this tournament and then going forward from this tournament?
Well, Lindsay Horan, who unfortunately won't be in She Believes because of a minor injury, she's to me, the future of our midfield. She was MVP for the NWSL, you know, for last season, kind of rocking and rolling. She could really dominate the midfield in the World Cup. It's, you know, still not anywhere near the time to call it a day on Megan Rapinoe's career. It seems like after her recovery from her ACL tear in late 2015, once she got back fully fit, she's been on fire, both for the national team and for NWSL. So, you know, you really can't count her out. And then I love the story, of course, of Jessica McDonald, who, you know, got her first cap, 2 years ago, you know, at the age of 28, finally got another cap this past fall, you know, 2 years between caps, and scored her first goal, you know, past the age of 30. You know, she was brought in because she was MVP of the championship game, had a terrific season. She's the only player in NWSL history who was suited up for six different clubs. But she's finally getting her due, and it's so great to see that not only did she get called into camp in January, she's called in again, she's been playing, she's not just, you know, she has suddenly a legitimate shot to be in that 23 for this summer, and it's just such a great story.
Nice.
Hey, Jen, going back to what you said about France beating the U.S. 3-1 earlier in the year, that was the United States' first loss, and I don't have the number off the top of my head, but quite a bit of time. Does that raise any alarm bells, or was it just the United States has an off night? It doesn't really affect, I guess, morale or the perception of this team going into the tournament still as a heavy favorite, both the She Believes and the World Cup later on.
It doesn't set off alarm bells for me at all. I'm sure fans always freak out, you know, when something like that happens. And, of course, you know, it's a good headline to say, you know, whatever game winning streak broken or unbeaten streak broken. But Jill Ellis is doing very much what she did 4 years ago, was, you know, 4 to 5 months out, put the players in the toughest situations possible. So last World Cup cycle, in December, before the World Cup, she took the team down to a tournament in Brazil where they played Brazil twice, plus China, plus Argentina. So three of their four games were really tough. They're not at home. They're not in front of big crowds. The weather was crap. They had to reschedule a game. They lost to Brazil in their first game against Brazil. They were up 2-0 and then lost 3-2. And I remember watching those games like, oh, my God, this is so awful. Like, we're going to do so horrible at the World Cup. But then I realized over time what she was doing was kind of toughening them up for, you know, it's like you don't get a lot out of that home game against a non-challenging opponent where there's 30,000 people screaming your name.
Yes.
You know, so and when you look at the U.S. schedules for the last 3 years, they have so rarely played abroad. And this tournament in France will not be like Canada, where even though technically you had to cross the border to get to the Women's World Cup, it was still really home games for the U.S. So this is kicking off the year. You know, they've just come back from holidays. They're not in the best shape. They haven't played together in a while. And making it as tough as possible. And I think that really helps you see who's got the chops and who doesn't.
Now I want to switch gears to the Women's World Cup, which, of course, takes place in France and over the summer. And I want to start with Group F, which, of course, is the group with the United States. I would imagine they're going to be heavily favored to get through this group. They have Thailand, who I don't think has ever made a Women's World Cup. Chile, who obviously not as powerful as the men's side when it comes to the international stage. And Sweden, who I think could be a threat a little bit, but seems like it should be a fairly easy group for the United States to get through. Would you agree?
This is the easiest group we've had since the first World Cup, basically. It's kind of funny how it all fell out. Let me talk about Sweden first, because I have designed a T-shirt that says, "Why always Sweden?" Because we're almost always in the group with Sweden for the Women's World Cup. It's so frustrating. That'll obviously be the top match of that group, and it'll be the U.S.'s final game in the groups, of course, it'll most likely decide who wins the group. And if you think back to 2011, when we were also in a group with Sweden, and our last group game was against Sweden, we lost to Sweden, and that was the first time ever that they lost a group game in a Women's World Cup. and they ended up not winning the group. And that's why they ended up playing Brazil in the quarterfinals. Now, I wouldn't say Sweden is as strong as they were then. They've seen so much turnover and some retirements of some key players. So I really don't see that happen again. Now, Chile and Thailand are really the most interesting opponents for them. Chile, this is their first Women's World Cup. They hosted the qualifying tournament last year, had a lot of success from that. It was really great to see the U.S. play Chile in two friendlies last fall, seeing that Chile's federation was trying to get games, for their players. Like, Chile has two friendlies coming up against Jamaica. You know, I think it's always exciting to see a new team come on board. We beat them handily in both games last fall, but a lot of talent there. So it should at least be an exciting game. Now, Thailand, they did qualify for 2015. That was their first Women's World Cup. And, of course, their qualification was mostly due to the field being expanded from 16 to 24. They didn't get it out of the group stage, but they had a respectable tournament. And they've been playing much better since then. In the Asian qualifying last April, they actually held Australia to, I think, 1-1 or 2-2 tie, and it went to PKs for, I think, their semifinal. So there's a lot of potential there. I'm not saying it's going to challenge the U.S. women the way that playing France or Germany, would, but it should make for exciting games. And we just heard today that Vera Powell, who was the Houston Dash coach last year, she's just been named technical director for Thailand's national team. So it's, to me, it's the most fun group that the U.S. has had in a long time, because we used to always be playing, it was like, always Sweden, usually Nigeria, usually North Korea, like the same teams over and over. So this is so much more fun.
Now, I'm old compared to Thomas and Carson.
You don't really need that qualifier.
Well, these guys are—they're kids. I'm pushing 40, so I remember.
Well. But tell me this: were they born before or after MLS played its first game?
I believe both of them were born after.
When was MLS's first game?
Was it 94, 95?
91.
96.
I'm 91.
96 was the first game.
I was born before.
Nice.
Yeah, I just barely made the cut.
All right. So they just make the cut.
So they barely qualify as adults. Okay.
Yes. I don't even think Thomas is old enough to drink. He doesn't look like it. I'm guessing he'll be carded for the next 15 years. But it seems.
I'll take it. You stopped getting carded at 16.
I did. But I can remember when Norway was like the big power or the big threat to the United States. Then it was China.
Dude, you are old.
Yes. then I remember Germany and then obviously Japan and now France. Does it simply just come down to the United States having better athletes than everybody else, which is why they're always at the top and all these teams seem to fall off, and it seems like every cycle there's a new club or a new country that's a challenge to them? Because, I mean, we've gone through multiple generations now of the women dominating on an international stage, but it seems like every time there's a different country that's a threat to them. Is it simply just a numbers game, or is there something that the U.S. does better than all these other countries?
I would never say there's something we do better than all other countries other than, prioritizing physicality. But each country is kind of a different story. One, I would never say that Germany's come and gone. What's really fascinating when you look back is to see that we have never faced Germany in a final, in an Olympic or World Cup final. It's always been a quarterfinal or a semifinal.
Should be noted, Germany, the only country to win both the women's and the men's World Cup, too.
Yeah. You think about 2003 and 2007, we lost both semifinals, so we didn't get to meet Germany in the final. So I would not put Germany in the category of an opponent who's come and gone. Now, Norway, they were, like Sweden, an early adopter of the women's game, because they're socialists and they believe in, actually medical care for everybody. It's so bizarre. So they had 25% of the women in their country playing soccer already by the early 80s. So that's why early on you had Norway as the contender, 91 runner-up, 95 champion, fourth place in 99. But they had nowhere to go from there, population-wise. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have, you know, the Ballon d'Or winner, Ada Hegerberg, saying, yeah, I'm not playing for Norway because, you know, they're not running things well. Now, Japan, I like charting their course, too, that they were not early adopters, but slowly built their way up. You can see, like, don't get out of the group stage. Suddenly, you know, okay, now they make a quarterfinal. Now they make a semifinal. Now they're in the final. So they have had a really steady rise, and they're still up there. And so I think once you're up there, you have cycles like we've had. You know, obviously we haven't won every Women's World Cup and even every Olympics, of players kind of moving in and out. So I wouldn't necessarily discount Japan. And France is a new one. France, I remember in 2011, where all of a sudden they're in the semifinals, and I'm like, France? Yeah, what they had done, like 8 years prior to that tournament, they had made the decision as a federation, okay, we're going to identify the best 12 to 15-year-old girls, and we're going to focus on that generation. And they did, and hey, look what happened. So, you know, they've built themselves into a contender. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to see. And I do have to say, you know, as much as I like what Japan's done, it was kind of boring to me, for lack of a better word, that we were facing Japan again in the 2015 final. 2011 and 2012, it totally made sense. Those were the top two teams in the world. And again, to add to the Germany story, Germany didn't even get to go to the 2012 Olympics. Because since France and Sweden did better than them in the 2011 World Cup, France and Sweden got the two slots. There were only two slots available out of 12 for Europe because Great Britain was hosted and they automatically got a team.
Oh.
So your number two team in the world didn't even get to go to the 2012 Olympics because UEFA does not do a separate Olympic qualifying tournament. So again, you know, some weird women soccer stuff. But I remember being at the final in 2015, and we're up 4-0, 60 minutes in, and maybe this is heresy to say, but I was thinking, well, this is boring. I mean, should I stay for the rest of the game? You know, so I was excited for the U.S., and I remember, you know, going through my stat brain and going, have we ever had a World Cup where the, you know, the winners decided this early, you know, World Cup final, and yeah. So What I'm really excited about for women's soccer right now is that there's so many federations, especially Asian and European, that are really investing in women's soccer. So you're going to see some new teams who haven't been names that were big opponents for the U.S. become opponents because they're finally investing in it. It's not that they came and went, is that they had never invested in it. So think about the game against Spain last, you know, we edged them 1-0. Spain won the U-17 Women's World Cup in December. They demolished the U.S. U-17s in the group stage of that tournament. They look ridiculously good. You know, Scotland making the World Cup finally for the first time.
And interestingly, they're in the same group as England.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Netherlands, the Euro champion, had to go through the final UEFA playoff to qualify. I mean, just like the men's, the UEFA qualifying is the most competitive, and you could easily take away one South American, one Asian, and one African team from the World Cup slate, put in three European teams, and it would be more competitive.
So going to transitioning from the world stage to our stage here with NWSL, speaking of investing, NWSL, I know their deal with Lifetime is not anymore, and it was already kind of funky. You would have the sappy romance television shows and programs, and then there's the Portland, is it the Thorns, and the Houston Dash, you know, at 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. So now that
is a very, very coveted cable slot, Carson.
Yeah, so that's done. So where does it go from here? And as I know, I read, I believe on The Athletic, the owners of the league seem to be actually okay with not having Lifetime anymore. Is that somewhat on the pulse there?
Well, there's so many angles to it, because one, not only was Lifetime a broadcast partner, they were an equity partner. Gotcha. Unlike any TV deal that you've seen for MLS or USL, like, they were an equity partner. They had a vote at the table. So you had the TV deal side of it, and again, it wasn't Lifetime, it was A&E Networks, and so A&E wanted to put all of this on Lifetime, and the two people that championed the deal and worked a year and a half to make it happen are no longer there. You know, as flawed as the idea may have been to put it on Lifetime, you can't, you know, overlook that the production value they brought to it, the fact that it was the only live thing on Lifetime, which means it would never be preempted by anything else. You know, and I'm biased. I mean, full disclosure, you know, when you said I'm editorial director of NWSL, no, I'm editorial director of NWSL Game of the Week, so I might not have a job this season.
Knock on wood that you will,
of
course.
Yeah, yeah. So they, you know, it's like the production value they brought to it and, like, the content that they were able to create, like, I don't know if you saw any of the halftime features, the fact that there were two women in the booth. I mean, I would, on a regular basis, see tweets from people saying, I think it's sexist that this is on Lifetime. It's like, well, it's not sexist. It's who was willing to pay the bucks. You know, the league doesn't go, oh, we want this on ESPN, so now it's on ESPN. No, it's ESPN coming forward and saying, hey, let's do a deal, or Fox saying, let's do a deal, or NBC Sports saying, let's do a deal, right, or Yahoo Sports, or Bleacher Report, or whatever. You know, without Lifetime, you would not have had Jen Hildreth and Allie Wagner in the booth together with Man Candy on the sideline as sideline reporter. When have you ever had that happen?
None of us would qualify as Man Candy, so.
Definitely not myself, yeah.
But what the big change that's happening, I think, you know, from what I've heard, is that the owners felt a little hamstrung by having the broadcast partner also having an equity stake.
Yeah.
So I think it was, you know, a novel idea, a great experiment. I think what one of the things that Lifetime A&E doesn't get credit for really is taking the website into the modern era. There really was no league website other than just the really basic, you know, this is what my youth club has up for stats kind of website. So the A&E side funded a whole office in New York that was strictly producing content, you know, so videos, interview, news, stats, actually paying Opta to do real stats, you know, that the developing an app, none of that happened until 2 years ago. So I'm really curious now to see where this goes. You know, we might see a little step back kind of thing. It might be a three steps forward, one step back kind of thing. But, you know, if both parties were willing to part, then it's not, you know, it's not a horrible situation. And they do have Yahoo Sports as a streaming partner for this season. So all games will be streamed free, which, again, is one of the smartest things I think NWSL has ever done. But I'm really hoping, both for personal reasons and for the fans, that we can end up getting one game of the week on TV. I know, you know, that they are trying to work on that because, hey, it's a World Cup year. They know that.
Yeah.
You want that visibility. You want, even on something like Lifetime, they were tracking the numbers of those people watching those ridiculously freaky, you know, afternoon movies and see how many of them stayed. You know, and one of the things that they found, they found that they needed to do a shorter pregame show, so that, you
quicker
know,
transition.
Like, do some teas, you know, it's like, and then go into the game, and they found people would stay and watch. Now, you know, we all know, at least those of us old enough to remember, that afternoon is a horrible slot for soccer, period. Right?
Yeah.
I remember Dynamo's first few seasons in Houston and having that 3 o'clock slot on ESPN. Nobody watched it. The game was horrible. It was horrible to work at the game. It was hot to be at the game. We all know attendance is better in the evening, but those evening slots are even more, you know, more expensive. So it's, I feel like in many ways, the NWSL has been going through the same growing pains that, you know, MLS went through more than 10 years ago.
I feel like they should have just put some of the NWSL players in some of the Lifetime shows. Like, shout out to Houston Dash. Rachel Daly, I feel like, is a charismatic young lady.
I'd probably watch like, way too much. I mean, you're already thinking more than they ever have.
So. Yeah, I feel like that was a reality show, like, kind of just waiting to happen, but it never happened.
And Sydney LaRue, I mean, really should just have her own show. She and Dom Dwyer and their cute kid. I mean, go ahead. They could be a show. I would actually watch that.
100%.
Now, we're going to get you back on, I think, before the Women's World Cup starts. So we'll do a pretty good breakdown of that. But before we let you go, I got to ask you. I know you've been following the women's game closer than anyone I think I've ever spoken to. In your opinion, who is the greatest women's player ever?
Ooh, that's a good question.
She doesn't have to be American. I mean, because I think Marta certainly can make a case. I don't know if I'd vote for her, but she's in the discussion,
she is a monster.
I think.
But I still don't see Marta as all around. Like, to me, Marta is like the most creative goal scorer kind of thing. Wow.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, now my mind is like spinning.
We can let you think about it, and you can bring it back to us.
Now I'm just going to throw out a wild one here, because partly because I love her story. But she was the only player who was ever named to a U.S. World Cup roster without ever having been capped for the national team.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know who that is.
So she had never been called into camp. Tom Sermonti, when he was coaching in the WSA, orchestrated a huge trade just to get her, giving away the number one overall draft pick to another team, who everybody knew would be Allie Wagner, because he wanted this player. Because he had seen her when she played defense against Brazilians, and he said she was the only player I ever saw that the Brazilians couldn't get past. And that's Shannon Box.
Wow.
So Shannon Box was called into U.S. national team camp in August 2003, her first camp ever at the age of 26, and she got named to the U.S. national team roster for the World Cup. Then she got to play two friendlies, played all the World Cup games, scored in the World Cup. You know, it's unfortunate they only got third place in that one, but she went on to she played 192 caps, you know, played on that 2015 team. And get this, she was the only American named to the 2004 All-Star women's team that played Germany at FIFA's 100-year celebration.
Nice.
The only American named.
Wow.
So I'm saying Shannon Box.
I like it.
She's got a strong resume.
Yeah,
definitely not a name that came to mind. But wow, yeah,
yeah.
Well, amazing story.
She had just gotten into grad school, so she had to like totally scrap all of her grad school plans.
Wow, it's incredible. I think it's hard to argue against that. I mean, I was thinking maybe Mia Hamm, but yeah, I mean to if you really think about Shannon Box, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and even if they might deserve it, I am never going to answer the most obvious answer because everybody else does. So, I want to add to it. And just so you guys know, before we go, my official title is the Cliff Clavin of women's soccer.
Wow. Oh, well, these two guys probably don't even know who Cliff Clavin is. I do.
I know, but I'm glad you do.
The only Cliff I know is from Cheers.
That's who it is.
That's who
is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be damn nice. Proud of myself.
You should be.
Stumbled into that one.
Yes. Unbeknownst to you.
Yeah.
All right, Jen. Well, we want to thank you for coming on with us. And hopefully we'll get you on again right before the Women's World Cup. And we'll ask you some predictions and maybe for an upset or two.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, have a great night, Jen. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, with that was a surprising GOAT argument. I did not know that was going to be a good one. I did not know that was going to be her choice there.
No, kind of caught me by surprise as well. But
and I'm proud of myself for knowing who Cliff was. It Cliff Clavin?
Cliff Clavin. Tom, did you know who that was?
You remember Cheers? Cliff from Cheers, the guy with the mustache? He was the guy with the
Cheers.
Mustache.
Yeah,
he was the male guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I haven't watched Cheers.
You know what's funny?
I wasn't a big Cheers guy.
The airport here, there used to be a Cheers bar in the airport here in Vegas. And they used to have two puppets or dummies sitting at the bar.
That's creepy.
That were dressed like Cliff and Norm.
Norm.
And every once in a while, because I worked at the airport when I first moved to Vegas, I'd go in there and get food. And these two dummies, once in a while, they'd start talking to each other. And you're like,
that would be creepy.
I see that firsthand every week on this podcast.
It's yeah, nice. Two dummies talking to each other, yeah. Thomas and Tom. Go back and forth.
Three dummies.
Yeah. What do you think? You're not immune to the dummy sickness. That's I don't
definitely.
Even, yeah. All right. So that was Jen Cooper. Very good guest. She had
number one soccer.
All sorts of cool stuff. Like, and the women's game to me is so fascinating because it is growing tremendously. And she mentioned some of these confederations that are kind of up and coming. You know, like, but just like the men's game, Europe is unbelievably difficult to get through and to qualify.
Yeah.
I mean, she mentioned Spain. Spain is in the group, just to put it out there, Spain is in a group with Germany, who have won two.
Yeah.
China, who I think has also won China has won one World Cup, the finalist, I think, twice. I think they lost to the U.S. That was the they lost to China. Was that the Brandi Chastain game?
Nice. A classic.
Or they lost to the United States in 99. Brandi Chastain wins it for the U.S. in penalty kicks. So Spain is they got their work cut out for them. South Africa, who I'm not too familiar with, but that's a pretty tough group.
Free Mandela.
I think he's been free a long time.
R.I.P. Mandela.
Yeah, that's a better one. But switch gears now back to the Champions League. Two games yesterday.
Is that all there was this week? Four matches?
Yeah, they broke it up. Four games last week, four games this week. Mm-hmm. But we can start with, I think it was a bit shocking. Maybe not to some people, but...
All right, hang on. Before we get into that, staying on the subject of women's soccer real quick. This is a complete tangent. It has nothing to do with anything,
but it's
been completely bothering me for the entirety of this conversation.
Here we go.
What's the name of the woman who looks like Megan Rapinoe but isn't? Abby Wambach. I said it myself. I just had to say it out loud. It was bothering me the whole time, and I just had to figure that out.
Is she the all-time leading scorer for the
U.S.? I think so, yeah.
Yeah, for some reason I was just drawing a blank, but
really, really good.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I mean,
yeah, she's amazing, which is why it was bothering me so much. Why can't I think of this name?
Abby Wambach. Yeah, that was her. She was amazing.
We've had some serious goal scorers.
Well, Alex Morgan
is on a stupid stretch of goal scoring right
Mia
now.
Mia Hamm, who of course was you know, I think the big name early on in women's soccer. But Megan Rapinoe, Julie Foudy was a really good player as well.
True.
Of course, you could catch Julie on the U.S. Was she still with? She was Fox now.
I think so.
Yeah, I think she was part of the World Cup crew, right?
Isn't Mia Hamm to me? Is she also like a co-owner of the LAFC?
I think so. Well,
she's also married to
Nomar Garciaparra. Yeah, they've been married. They've been together for a really long time, actually. I mean, that's not one of those fly by night romances.
No.
And of course, Drew Holiday is married to
Lauren Holiday.
Lauren Holiday, yeah,
who's also a
really good player,
young up and coming player.
I think they actually have a kid together, Drew and you know what's funny? Drew Holiday actually became a fan when I think he was in Philadelphia because I think Drew was playing for the Sixers and Lauren was playing for the Philadelphia. Is it WUSA?
NWSL.
No. I think it was WSA.
Was it?
I think so. Yeah, the league folded. WUSA.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. But I think Lauren was part of that team, and they actually met
another male athlete, Zach Ertz, married to Julie Ertz.
That's right, yeah.
Who's another elite player. So
it was WUSA, Women's United Soccer Association, abbreviated to WUSA.
Who? Pugh, is she married to Justin Pugh?
I don't think so.
No,
no relation at all.
I think she's young. I think she's younger than he would be, and he's a big, ugly guy.
But yeah, this league
she's
only
hero,
lasted
so
for two seasons. There was the Atlanta Beat, Boston Breakers, Carolina Courage, New York Power, Philadelphia Charge, San Diego Spirit,
San Jose
Cyber Rays, called Bay Area Cyber Rays, and the Washington Freedom. But San Diego Spirit was one of the teams. And I think Lauren Holiday played for Philadelphia Charge.
Shout out to Justin Pugh, offensive lineman out of the Syracuse University.
They played at Villanova Giants? University. Which is, of course, located outside Philadelphia. But I'm looking for their roster, and it was, Hope Sola was on that team, too. Heather Mitz was on Philadelphia as well. So a couple women's national team players. But that league only lasted three seasons.
RIP, what was the league called?
WUSA.
WUSA.
Women's United Soccer Association. But, yeah, that was I remember that, and you guys were very young. So
going from the WUSA to a similar league, the Champions League.
Yes, I think they're certainly on par.
What match was surprising to some?
Atletico and Juventus.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good match. I watched that one.
I'm not sure I would say that's overly surprising.
Here's the thing. Atletico wins 2-0. They had a goal taken away. Maybe, you know, controversial call.
I thought I was right, but
I thought so too. Can Juventus come back and win?
No.
Yes, but they won't.
Well, I mean, okay.
So what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, you're saying they don't have a chance. I'm saying
they have
make
a chance.
A game.
I'm just saying no. They can't because they won't. I guess is my logic.
I don't think they can either.
I think this is a team that's fully capable of it.
I'm glad they won't. I'm glad they won't. I'd like to state that.
Yeah, because I'd like to see Cristiano Ronaldo go by.
And I don't want to see Juventus win the Champions League after Buffon left.
That would be awful. Yeah, I agree with you there.
But I ultimate.
We may have to go back and check, but I may have picked Juventus to win.
I picked PSG because of Buffon.
Did I pick PSG?
No.
Because of Buffon?
I don't think so. I think I was solo on PSG because you said they always choke. I want to say you said Bayern.
I might have said Bayern.
Yeah, I think you said Bayern.
I may have picked Juventus, so I could be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
Here's why they won't come back and win. Diego Simeone, who is a coach of Atletico, they play such a defensive style of soccer.
Yeah, once you're down, it's
they will absolutely...
Diego Costa.
You've heard of parking the bus.
They park a few of them.
Yeah, they'll have the big red bus with the double-decker, the cat bus you see going up and down Las Vegas Boulevard with double decker. I mean, they will park every bus
imaginable.
In it'll because I think the game is going to be
full on Mourinho ball.
Well, they'll take Mourinho ball to a whole new level. They may have 11 guys behind the ball at all times, including the goalie.
Mourinho is actually offended at how defensive Atletico plays.
But I mean, they just picked apart Juventus. I mean,
I'm fine with it.
Surprising. I mean, I'm not.
I was not heartbroken by that one. The other one, Schalke might have been a bit heartbroken by that one.
Well,
that was a rough. I couldn't watch it because I don't have the fancy cable package you need to watch more than one game.
Here's the thing. And I didn't watch it either. You'll have to correct me if I'm wrong. Weston McKennie played in that game.
Yeah.
He played well.
He came out of the game. Schalke was winning 2-1.
Yeah. Mm. That was the mistake. You don't take your best player out of the game.
And they end up losing 3-2. Now, to be fair,
he played incredibly well.
To be fair, Schalke had 2 PKs.
Yeah.
Bentaleb, I think, scored both penalty kicks.
Yep.
He has scored 14 goals as the vacuum goes on. I'm surprised the lights didn't flash here.
I know.
He has scored 14 goals in a row for Schalke.
And they're
all on penalties.
That's amazing.
Hey, man. Get it how you live.
But they get to
do what you're good at.
They get the 2 PKs, I think, like 5 minutes apart. Yeah. They were losing 1-0 at the time.
Yeah.
No Otamendi in the next match for Man City.
Yeah, well, and what did you what did you think of the VAR for the handball in that game?
I couldn't watch, so.
I thought they got it right. I didn't watch it, the replays.
Because I see some people complaining that they took too long for a clear handball. And there's people arguing that he shouldn't have gotten a yellow card, but I thought it's in the rules where if it's a handball in the box that it's results in a penalty kick, it's an automatic yellow card.
I believe that to be correct.
Even if it's unintentional.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, you could debate the rule whether you agree or not. I mean, I don't know. My personal opinion is, look, if it's unintentional, you can still award the PK, but I don't see why you necessarily have to give a card in that situation. But nonetheless, it's in the rules, so I think it was fine, but... For Schalke, I think that was their one chance.
Yeah,
I would say they gave up 2 goals in 5 minutes. I think 85th and the 90th minute, Raheem Sterling gets the game winner.
Yeah, I even said the day before, I was like, man, prayers to Schalke tomorrow because it's going to be bad. Thomas predicted a Weston McKennie hat trick, and I said they'll still lose by 5.
But they kept it close.
It's not like they got blown out. They really had the game and just dropped it, which was unfortunate.
I think that game was in Manchester too, was it not?
Was it?
Because I don't think if it was in Germany they have zero chance because they'd be down 6 goals in aggregate, be what, 6-2? They'd have to put up 4, or no, they'd have to put up 3 in the next one. But
I don't like the away goals rule.
Well, did you see that they may get rid of that?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's really great by me. Yeah, to me, it's stupid.
I don't know how I feel about that.
A goal's a goal. Like, I don't know. But the goals aren't a different size because you're playing somewhere else. I don't know.
Oh,
it was not. It was not.
Yeah, not good. It was so. So they're down in the aggregate now, 6-2.
I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, are you adding?
I think
you're
your
adding
math
that weird.
Is very wait. Very don't
you
wrong.
Get? But you get two
uh-uh.
points.
It's a tiebreaker.
No,
2 points for an away goal.
No. Mm-hmm. Wait, where are you making this up? This has never been a thing
that
anywhere.
That was some interesting math.
Wait. So
yeah,
so,
no,
so
Chris. If they win, they just need 2 goals.
Because they win the aggregate, but if it's tied,
yeah, that's what I'm getting.
You
at.
Get the edge because they score
because
more
they scored
away goals.
Away goals, yeah. So, but yeah, no one meant
Chris was some serious math.
That was something. Chris.
I'm horrible at math. Yeah. That was bad.
That wasn't even math. That was just making up new rules of soccer.
Well, look, I want City to lose, so
it was
maybe
like
I should
the hot
make up.
Spot an NBA courtside.
But yeah.
It'll be tough though. I mean, the Etihad will be loud and rowdy for that game.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. But yeah, you get more points for the away goals. But you know it's tough going home for City because I think all the pressure's on them. Look, they may have won yesterday. They didn't play well.
They didn't play well, and they got to recoup because they. I mean, yes, they're in first place, but they still got to keep up with that if they're gonna see out another predictable Premier League title as well.
I mean, there's talk.
After that
there's talk about them
bottled it.
Going with a quadruple. Could you? First of all, they're not going to win the Champions League, so throw that quadruple out.
I thought last year
they're
was
not going to win the Premier League, so throw that out.
You really think Tottenham's going to win the Premier League?
I'm just saying that City's not going to win the Premier League.
All right. I mean, Tottenham's a long shot, but I guess they could do it. They're in the race, so
you could think about that other club. That's fine. You don't have to talk about the club that has a game in hand and.
They don't anymore, do they?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Yeah, they still do.
They still do?
I think as of Sunday, they will no longer have the game in hand.
They are trailing by 10 in goal differential, however.
Yikes.
But it doesn't matter. You win your games, goal differential never comes into play.
As they lose this weekend to Man United.
God, I hope not.
Oh, Pogba just scores 3 goals and flips the bird to everyone.
Oh, geez, that would be completely devastating.
Isn't it crazy that Pogba actually was good all this time?
No, it's very predictable.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, everyone's I think man, Pogba was good again.
Like Thomas said, I think it's very predictable. To me, it kind of shows a poor character. Like, you hate your coach so much that you're just not even going to go out there and play despite the fact that you're making millions of dollars a year to play.
I actually go the opposite direction and say, I think, A, that shows how poor of a manager Mourinho was. He wasn't even getting in the squad towards the end of that.
Yeah.
And also, I think, like, the old, again, going off the get-off-my-lawn guys that are like, oh, we can't blame Mourinho for everything. It's, you know, Pogba. He dances and has, you know, interesting haircuts and tattoos.
He spends more time with the barbershop, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, no, actually, no.
Plus, he was being played out of position.
Well, I think it's 100%, I think it's a combination of both, though. Like,
No, it's not. No, he was being completely misused.
It doesn't matter. The guy could still show up and play.
Not if you're in the wrong position. Listen,
or on the bench.
Yeah.
Well, that's not his fault. I mean, look, maybe it is his fault because he was
slacking off in training. Should we blame Marcus Allen for not playing well under Al Davis because Al Davis hated him and benched him?
Yeah, but the thing is, the
Pogba
NFL
was buried behind Fellaini.
Yeah.
Pogba
you
was guys, not playing
you
because...
cannot. No, you cannot blame a guy like Pogba, who, by the way, at the same time of all this, was going out and having a banger of a World Cup
but
for France.
It wasn't
blatantly obvious this
was
on Mourinho.
He was slagging off in training.
No.
I can't even believe I'm defending Mourinho here. If the
guy,
I don't know why you
either.
Are either.
You're completely in the wrong.
If the guy doesn't train
you're
hard,
more wrong about this than you are about Manchester City having no fans.
That's true.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. I'm right on both.
We've been waiting for this for hours, Chris.
Hours.
We saw this earlier today. So the Premier League released the attendance numbers for so far this season.
Yes.
Tell them. Talk to them.
Oh, you guys had this secretly planned.
Yeah,
they ambushed me.
Yeah, we did.
Son.
All right.
Get
so coming in at number 5 on the charts, Liverpool.
How many?
It's loading because there's no internet here.
There should be internet.
There's no internet in this building.
Either way, they're 5. Either way, they're 5. We'll come back to the numbers.
All right. I'm going to look this up. So
I got it. Okay, so this is the 2018-2019 so far. Their average is 52,835.
Not bad, right?
Their total is 68, 686,861.
Not bad, but compared attendance. To
Manchester City sits at 4 this year.
Okay.
It's one better than Liverpool.
Yeah. One spot better, just like in the Premier League table.
Also true.
With an average attendance of 54,164, though the real difference comes in the total attendance, which is almost 70,000 fans greater, with 758,291.
They have played one more home match.
They have played one more home match.
But yeah, I mean, so it sounds like
Manchester
honestly,
United blowing everyone away at the top spot, by
so
the way.
To me, by Chris's argument, if Liverpool somehow wins the Premier League, is it worth it because they didn't have any fans?
Yeah, like, well, you didn't have any fans show up to your games.
Here's the thing, though.
So, like, did you really win the league if you win?
No. But where you guys are wrong is
we're never wrong.
The capacity of Anfield.
Okay.
Right? It only holds 52,835.
Okay.
So they're selling out every game.
Just not as many fans.
I don't know. It sounds to me like you don't have as many fans because you can't afford a bigger stadium.
Listen, Liverpool is not as big as Manchester.
Yeah.
It's a smaller city.
I don't know. I mean, Everton's building a nice new stadium.
Yeah, let's.
And so is Spurs.
Yeah. Well, Spurs, we don't know if they're actually building it anymore.
White Hart Lane 2, Xanadu Boogaloo.
and to credit Everton, they're about where they should be in the standings, just like they are in the Premier League. They're ninth.
Where's Newcastle?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Ugh. Actually, that's not true at all.
Newcastle's very respectable.
Really high.
Yeah. They're much higher. We'll put it this way. If attendance meant qualification for Europe, Newcastle would be in.
Let me see. Because I see it.
They're drawing 10,000 more than
Chelsea
and 12,000 more than Everton.
All right, I don't know what numbers I'm looking at for last year, but it's the same as the numbers for this year.
Does Bournemouth Stadium hold like 15 people?
Yeah,
their average is 10,000, which is 10,000 less than the second to last team. That's not good.
I'm pulling up their capacity. Their stadium only holds 11,464 people. So
they're close to selling out.
Dean Court, yeah. I would venture to guess most clubs are pretty close to selling out.
Yeah, Newcastle, they're
because when you watch games, you don't really see.
Hang on. I got a great stat for you guys, though. I want to guess what New York Red Bulls 2 average attendance was in 2017.
By the way, Red Bulls 2? Real quick.
No. Just take a guess here.
400.
Their average attendance for the first two?
For Red Bulls
2017, for New York Red Bulls 2.
USL.
700.
Chris was closer. It's 632.
Wow. I think
that is friends fan. That is a friends and family
affair. I think
affair.
The Golden Knights draw more than that for practice.
They definitely do.
But this may surprise you.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen these numbers or not, but which club has the highest away attendance? So when they play on the road, who is drawn the most?
Give me Newcastle.
Nope. Newcastle 11th.
Damn. Thomas?
Tottenham.
Ooh.
Tottenham is 7th.
I was going to say, Tottenham, they're all vagabonds at this point.
Yeah, right.
Having to travel from place
to
place.
But the crazy thing is, and they've only played 12 away matches.
Is it Cardiff?
Wolves.
I can see
they travel.
Yeah.
They travel well.
Well, there we go.
Title of the episode. Wolves supporters traveling packs.
Yeah.
Southampton, at the very bottom. Watford. Funny, Watford is 19th in home and away attendance.
Consistent. You can't be mad at that.
Chelsea 17th.
Ew.
Everton 16th. Or 14th, I'm sorry. So that's an interesting statistic, but I think obviously it's based on who you've played.
Yeah, true.
And you know, I don't think it's necessarily based on who has
the best fans.
Yeah.
Easiest commutes for some, maybe.
Now who would have the highest overall attendance? I don't think this is a shock.
Manchester United.
Yeah. Who do you think would be number two? No, not Arsenal. Home. This is home and away.
Arsenal.
Yeah.
It is Arsenal.
Said this.
The Gunners. Pogba. People travel to see Pogba, not Mourinho.
It's not the same as home because City is third on the list.
Mm.
West Ham 4th. Liverpool 5th. Spurs, Newcastle, Chelsea, Everton.
So it sounds like City has, you know, an elite fan base.
Or you could say people from people from the opposing club show up to root for their club because it's so easy to get tickets at city games.
Is that the argument you're going with this?
I've been to a game there. I can tell you it's accurate. You hear
this guy talks?
I mean, he's just salty because he's not going to win the league because of them.
I'm not salty.
He's salty. You're,
you are the salty. The Dead Sea is the second saltiest body of water on the planet besides your bitch ass.
Wow.
I was going to say they need to throw some salt down on these Vegas roads. And
Yeah, no kidding.
All they need to do is drag you through the streets.
I'm afraid to drive home, man. I'm going to be slipping and sliding. I guess I could just open up my door and start dragging my foot out the door.
Open
right?
your door and start talking about Man City's attendance and the roads but will fall.
I will say this. Like, I've driven in snow.
Yeah.
I've been there, done that. All of us have.
Yeah.
It is scary to drive on the roads in any sort of weather condition here because, number one, everyone else on the road becomes a hazard.
Yes,
they're scared. They so that's concerning. Yeah. And number two, the roads are definitively slicker here. Like in a rainstorm in California, it's not that bad.
There's a lot of oil, I think, in the roads here.
That's the thing.
And when it rains, all the oil rises up through the asphalt. Yeah,
I notice myself slipping a lot more here.
And if you notice, if you're on the 215 here, it's graded. Not like graded like you got a good paper. Graded like you grate cheese. G-R-A-T-E-D. Mm. Grated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so when it rains, the water will flow into one of the washes as opposed to just sitting on.
Thankfully, somebody decided to do that.
Yeah. You know, like we figured this out in about 200 BC, that if you curve the road, the water drains off.
Well,
this is a thing we've known about for a long time before they built the road system here.
Narrowly before Chris was alive.
Narrowly, yes.
In case you guys don't know, dude, I am old.
Mm-hmm.
But
fun fact: Chris is mentioned in the Bible. He is one of he's one of the guards that crucified Jesus.
Wow,
might be the title. Well, of the episode.
You know, if he was a Man United fan, I might be behind that.
I don't know. Let me say,
Jesus was a Man United fan. I support crucifixion.
I don't think that's Chris be the title, Magnum. But let me say this.
Though.
I'm not going to edit that out. By the way, I guess I'm going to hell.
We mentioned that
we established a long time ago. All three of us are going to hell.
We mentioned that Chris was a closet Mourinho fan jokingly a while ago, and he was appalled and was like, "No, you don't call me that." Tonight you defended Jose Mourinho. Yeah.
Well, I have to knock down Pogba a little bit too. So
Magnum Pontius.
Pontius.
That's
Magnum.
The title.
Pontius
That's
Magnum.
Pontius Magnum.
No, I think we should leave religious things in the title. Yes, I'm like. What was it? You guys won't even have ever seen it. Monty Python and the Life of Brian.
I've seen parts of that one.
Which,
I'm a Holy Grail fan.
I love the Holy Grail.
Don't you want to haggle?
About that before.
What's that?
Don't you want to haggle?
Oh, you do know the movie.
Of course I know the movie. It's a fantastic movie.
All right, well, it's Thomas Viola. I don't know. I mean,
he's a character.
Yeah. Is there a better character in that movie than Pontius Pilate?
He is pretty great.
Michael Palin? Throw him to the ground. Oh, that's John Cleese, right? Throw him. No, it is Michael Palin. John Cleese is one of the guards. Centurion, throw him to the ground. Yes.
I'm reading Eric Idle's autobiography right now.
I met Eric Idle.
That's pretty awesome.
Years ago.
Not to be confused with Billy Idol.
No. Spells a completely
Nobody
different
Nobody talks
too.
To Billy Idol that way.
But Billy Idol, nice cameo in Wedding Singer, too.
I just quoted his cameo in Wedding Singer.
I'm just saying. There it is. No, but before we get out of here, since we were on the topic of terrible roads and horrible drivers in Las Vegas, what is the story with the fact that the light turns green, you drive like 500 feet, and the very next light turns red as soon as the other light turns green? But then
in Vegas, you proceed to ignore the red and keep going.
Well, I know.
I've noticed that as a trend in this city.
I'm also a fan of the guy that
doesn't accelerate getting on the highway.
Well, no, that rushes you to go forward at a red light. Like if you're pulling up to a red light and they're like behind you tailgating, it's like, bro,
yeah.
There's a red light, sir. I assure you, we're stopping. Like whether we're going 45 or 30, we're stopping when we get to this light.
But like there's the timing of the lights, and then there's the jerk who doesn't accelerate when he gets on the highway.
Yeah,
like bro,
monsters.
You are getting on the highway.
You need to move.
It's
now,
inexcusable
sir.
For you to drive 35 miles an hour until you get on the highway and proceed to cut somebody off.
Yeah.
And cause a backup. Like on ramps here.
Well, that's like the guy that goes 50 down the. the on ramp and just is like, well, somebody will let me over eventually. And
yeah.
And you're like, dude, if that was how this worked, everyone would do that.
Yes.
That's like, yeah. It's like George Costanza. It's like, it's anarchy.
Everything about driving here is just a nightmare.
It drives you nuts.
Yeah. Except the traffic, nowhere near as bad as California.
No.
Like, people complain here about an extra 20 minutes, and I'm just like,
I will tell you this. I lived in Manila. And Manila is, after living in Manila and having to go places in that city,
mm-hmm.
I came back to the United States and I said, I will complain about bad drivers, but I will never complain about traffic. Manila has 25 million people. So imagine, it's bigger than Los Angeles.
Including one that's my uncle.
In Manila.
That is.
Big envelope place.
Yeah?
Nice.
Interesting. Yes. They're known for that, by the way. Yeah. Yes. Took me a minute to get it.
Shout out to Richard Merck.
Listening in the Philippines?
Possibly.
Wow, I think
he's actually a famous jazz singer there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, next time I go, I'll have to meet up. I'll be like, hey, I'm friends with Carson.
His mom, Annie Brazil, also a famous jazz singer.
In Manila?
Yeah.
How about that? Is she Filipino?
Yes, she is.
Oh, man, they can sing. They love to sing over there. I mean, a lot of these like little bands that you see at like the nightclubs here, they're all from the Philippines. But after living there, 25 million people live in Manila. They have arguably the worst public transportation I've ever seen in my life because there's no public buses. Their subway only has like 10 stops, and they have two highways.
Oh,
25 million people, two highways.
The one and the two?
Nope. Yeah, basically. One of them is EDSA, which is horrific at any time of day. And then the other one, I don't know what the other one's called. But
I think we should get a map of places Chris has lived or visited.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a big...
51 countries and counting.
Surprisingly worldly man.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I have nothing else, so.
Fair enough.
I'm single. I'm unattractive. So
check and check.
Look, one day you're gonna walk into a bar and there's gonna be a woman in a Mrs. Peanut outfit, and that's when you'll know you found the one.
Calm down, Sesame Street.
He's gonna be wearing a Liverpool kit.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Surprisingly, pretty good. Big shout out to my guys in Liverpool.
No, his second marriage is going to be to a Man City fan.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I can't wait.
I could. You know what? I could live with that.
Or Jose Mourinho's sister. If he has one.
Yeah. Ooh.
And she looks just like him.
Oh, jeez. I'd have nightmares
about
that. It'd
be a defensive marriage. Pun intended.
You know, it's like I've gone out with a couple of women, but I recently went out.
Good to know.
Yeah, went out on a few dates. Were they
aware or willing?
Yes, they were. They were alive, barely.
But, okay. What? You know, wait.
Based on his age.
Okay. Yeah. What are we talking about here?
Listen,
terminally ill or physically made.
I'm being sarcastic.
Hitting up the senior homes. Like, hang on.
I've shown you guys pictures of my last two ex-girlfriends. I do all right for a fat bald guy from New Jersey.
True.
But no, the last girl I went out with a few times, she was a Bostonian. Needless to say, as soon as the Patriots started winning and it looked like they were going to go to the Super Bowl.
You were out?
I checked out.
That's fair.
I can't do it. I don't have the heart. You know, you see those commercials on TV for Grandpa, when you blow out the candles, you huff and puff like the wolf, right? Well, that's me when she tells me, hey, the Patriots won again. I'm like, I'm checking out, man. Check engine light comes on in Magnum's head, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm out.
It's a done deal.
Yeah, I can't do it.
I really do hope it's a Man City fan.
Which would be much better than a Man United fan.
Now I hope it's a Man United
fan.
Set yourself up for that one. Congratulations.
No. The ultimate Everton fan.
You know what? I could live with that.
Yeah, could you really?
Yes. Okay. I like Thomas. He's an Everton fan.
Do you like Thomas, though?
I do. I mean,
I didn't know that. This is news to me. Yeah.
I don't know how anybody...
I was honestly unaware that was your feelings towards me.
I don't know
me.
How anyone could not like somebody who looks like both Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street.
I do not understand the comparison.
Like, I agree with him. I like him. Young Forrest Gump is outstanding as well.
Do you have the little braces and you start running? Run, Forrest, run!
Like, I don't understand your comparison.
I've
gotten some weird ones before, but like those...
I gotta find Jenny. Hey, Bert, what are you doing tonight?
I still don't understand him. Weirdest one I've ever gotten other than those two, John Mayer. which I did not see.
No, I don't see.
I mean, it was especially confusing for me because maybe I confused him with John Legend.
I was really confused.
We're just ordinary people.
You're definitely not pulling in someone who looks like Chrissy Teigen, so.
That's true.
If only.
I hate when people, as we fade out here, I hate when people compare themselves to people.
Oh, you can't
do that. Where
they're
like, oh yeah, people tell me I look like so-and-so. It's like, please. You're reaching for me to say, wow, you do look like that supermodel.
I will tell you this. When I was very young, like in my teenage, early high school, early college years, I used to get, I look like Andre Agassi a lot. Not anymore.
I do not believe that.
I'm telling you,
I'm going to need to see photo evidence.
I will
I can kind of see that.
All right, we got to get out of here. Chris Chapman, Thomas Viola, Carsonberg, where can they find us?
Stitcher, Spotify,
LV Sports Network.
LVSportsNetwork.com.
Beautiful Game Network.
Beautiful Game Network. Visit Roughneck Scarves.
Boom.
The official scarf of MLS,
I like
USL,
it.
National Team, and Custom Scarves.
Big shout out and thank you to Jen Cooper.
The number one soccer, woman soccer coverer in the country.
And we will talk to you next week. Have a good one, everyone.